box.
Okay. Just by show of hands, who was here last week? Only you. My wife. Nobody else was here. Auntie Doris, you were here as well. Yes. You were sick? No, man. Last week, Sunday. You weren't here. I think you were so sick you were here, but you didn't realize it because I'm sure you were here. Okay. No, then it's my mistake, Auntie Doris. Okay, the offering, Auntie Doris, okay. Offering, I will not take up the offering, but you are more than welcome to give it. There's a bag at the back, just at the technical team table. You're more than welcome to place your offering in there afterwards. But I will just continue now so that we can continue, Auntie Doris. But thank you for reminding me. Let's just quickly close our eyes. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this word, Father, as powerful and alive, Lord God, that we can just proclaim it, Father, in our lives, and we will bear the fruit of it, Father God. That is such an amazing privilege, Lord, just to be able to bring your word in such an amazing place, Lord God, where we can just humble ourselves before you, Father God. I ask, Father, that you would just open up my heart, my spirit, Lord, to your word, Father, for everything that you want to be proclaimed and said here today, Lord God. It will be uplifting to those that hear the word, Father, and the seed that will be sown, Father, will fall in good ground, Lord God, ground that will allow that seed to germinate and grow, Father, and bear the fruit, Father, of your word, Lord God, your beautiful word that is so amazing just to read and comprehend, Lord God. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us understanding of each word that is spoken, Lord God, and nothing, Lord, will go to waste, Father. We thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have, Lord, just to receive and be ministered by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, there's still a light. Molly, can you just check one of those lights? It's still off. You can just maybe turn it on. Or maybe it's off for a reason. Maybe you can see better when it's off. Okay. Last week I was also preaching. And it was an amazing word that God just gave me. And I was so blessed by it. I could not get enough of it. And part of it I basically want to use again. And simply just to define something that God laid in my heart there. So we'll have some difficulties with the projector, but we'll get it that right. We just have to go forward, backward. It's not as easy as it usually was. So just forgive the time it might take to get to the right place. Okay, but I basically spoke on the fear of God. And that in itself for you now is a bit difficult because you will now miss the context of that sermon. But it is not the focus on the fear of God, but it is the focus as well. And the reason I said that is because I compared it with gravity. While we are sitting here, we are not afraid of gravity. But if I were to place you on top of a tower with no protection, nothing that holds you in place there, you would suddenly feel the fear of gravity upon you. Because that is something that grips you. You realize that you're about to die. If you fall off this place, you can die. And it's something that I said as well, that fear is not something that we as Christians normally associate with a positive image. Because fear is something that binds us, something that also blocks us. But fear is also an amazing learning tool, especially if you look back at children, how children learn. It's getting hurt in some way, touching a hot plate, not in a negative context now, simply natural laws. Don't get close to a step, you can fall. Don't put your hand on a hot plate, it can burn you. And once you are hurt, that fear creeps in. And then you start listening, okay, but Dad said, I must not put my hand in the fire, okay. He said previously I should not touch the hot stove. So now I think, okay, my dad, so there's fear there. There's a reason he said that to me, so I must fear that. And then I respect it. So there's a context here that we have to understand that fear for God is a good thing. Fear in itself is not necessarily evil. But that fear must be used in context, especially when you speak of fear of the Lord. There's a context there that you have to understand, that you have to respect You cannot love God if you cannot fear Him. And why do we fear God? Because He's real. You cannot fear something that is not real to you. It's like gravity. If gravity does not hold any limits, does not bound you in certain context, you would not fear it. You would not respect it. Now, I'm a rock climber by sport, or that's one of my sports that I do. So you understand gravity with the whole meaning. I had a few nice pictures on there as well to put it in context, but I don't think we'll be able to get it now as quickly, just to show you. But there's a context to this fear that you have to understand. And that was part of the whole sermon, is that in context, fear of God is good. Because if God is real, it means there's a certain aspect to it that you understand. And there's so many verses in the Bible that says with the fear of the Lord comes understanding, comes wisdom. And simply because this word is the word of God. This is not my word. This is not something that I wrote. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by prophets and people that He chose to bless His word, that they could give it to us in written form. And this for me is absolute truth. This is something that I really hold on to. And as an engineer, there's many truths that I understand and believe. But compared to this, this is the truth. Because this gives life in so many aspects that we don't understand. We might be able to explain why life actually happens or is formed in a woman's womb. But there's so many aspects of that that we have no comprehension of what it actually is. The same with gravity. It's something simple that you think of. You can do that 100 times. We'll do that every time unless God commands it to do something else, which is not very likely now. So I can do that 100 times and it will not change. Simply because it's a law that God commanded to be there. Yet scientists cannot explain to you why it is there, why it is working the way it is. And if it was not for gravity, we would not be able to have life on this earth as we know it. Something so simple, yet so profound, that we have to comprehend this. And that's where the fear of God basically comes in. And once you know that God is real, and you understand that He created everything, He gave us the law, the word, which is His law, and said, this is the way that you're supposed to live. This is what I gave you to experience me. This is my love letter to you, to tell you that I am real. And it's something profound for us that once you start living by this book, not in a law manner, but the way that we are supposed to understand it. And it's something I got to as well. So this was basically the context of where I left off. Where gravity, depending on where you are, if you are on the mountain of success, which I define as the world, that we have no concept of who God is. So we're trying just to get higher and higher, trying to get away from gravity. But gravity is always there. You cannot get away from it. You cannot hide from it. So in context of the mountain, as you go up, you're getting more and more. You think you're getting further away from God. And to a certain extent, you are. But simply because you're not understanding where He wants you. And the further you go, the higher you go, the more dangerous it gets for you. Because you don't understand what you're fighting against. And that is what the world wants to do. They want to remove God. They basically want to remove gravity. But if you remove gravity from this earth, you remove life as we know it. So there are many things that... So I can just go on and on. I can almost preach that same sermon today. It will have the same impact because so many of you missed it. So, and then there's the Valley of Goodness. And I had pictures of valleys with grass and sheep running around, frolicking in the grass. In context of that, gravity is amazing. It looks beautiful. It's not something that you're afraid of there. And this is basically where God's kingdom is reigning, or is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be running up the mountain trying to get the best, be the best, where we want to be. We basically have to live in the valley where God has called us to be, to receive His blessings, to live the way that He's called us to live. And then there are so many blessings that flow from it that the things of this world will seems incomprehensible to us. But so many times we find ourselves starting to climb the mountain again, forgetting about gravity, forgetting about God, and what He wants us to do, where He wants us to stay, where He wants us to have victory and have life and life in abundance. And for us as Christians, that is so profound because it's something that the world cannot understand, will not understand until they accept who God is and what gravity can do to them. And that's again, you can only accept God if He's real to you. And I ended off with the final part of saying, but is it the fear of God that leads us to repentance? No, it's not. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not the fear of God. The fear of God gives us the wisdom and the knowledge to understand that this God is real. And because of that realness, He gave us a word that we have to live by and abide by. But because we cannot, because we are sinful beings, we have fallen so far from the what He's created, intended for us to be, we cannot be that anymore. And there's just the next part, Hiro. Sorry, Hiro, Okay, so if God is real, and this is what the world tries to do today, is they try and remove God. You remove God, you remove His word, His law, absolute truth. And then you remove the consequences of not abiding by that law, which is sin, disobedience to God's word, which then leads to death. Now that death can be natural or it can be spiritual. In what context, whatever it can be, because depending on the sin, the punishment will be death. Whether that is physical death, which is very, you can see clearly in the Bible, or which is consequences of sin, which I will term as death as well. Because if you commit sin and you do something wrong, there's a consequence to that. And it's not always nice. I've made that mistake many times. Disobeying God, going in the wrong direction, not respecting God or His word or His will for me, and making many mistakes and hurting myself in the process, which was not God's will, but simply me following my own will, disrespecting God and what He wanted me to do. So that death is basically the judgment of the sin as well. Just the next slide, Hero. And this is basically God's love letter to us, summarized very, very, it's very condensed. The whole word, basically the Old Testament, this forms that part of His testament that says that if God is real, His word then basically speaks of obedience or disobedience, receiving the curse or the blessing, abiding by His word or being disobedient to His word. And from that then basically flows the two lives that you can choose. Obedience, disobedience, life, death. And that's the first part of His word, the Old Testament, which the Jews abided by. But there was one problem with this part. And it's something that God realized as well, that if you go against His word to disobedience, you're disobedient to His word, you basically sin. And once you've sinned, or you're now in this process, let's say this word is where His word is, and now you get thoughts, maybe you're selfish, you want to buy a car, you want to get a new job. The only way to get this job is to make somebody else look bad. So you make that person look bad to promote yourself. And that's contrary to God's word. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. So now you break down this person able to get that job maybe, and you get the job. Or it's now basically this first process. You've decided, okay, I will go against God's word to get my own will, to get my own satisfaction. Now I choose to go the top route. I'm disobedient to God's word, what he's called me to do. And once I've done it, I've actually committed that sin. I've gone over into action. And now the judgment of God needs to come down. Because that's what he says. He is the righteous judge. And he must judge. It's his word. He cannot go against his own word. He must judge us. And because none of us have not sinned, all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Now we're in this place of sin. How do we get back to the blessing? And for the Israelites, that was very clear for them. The only way to be able to get back into his blessing or to give, receive, be able to go into a place where we are able to receive his word again and contemplate about the goodness of it, trying to get the blessing, there was only one way back for them. And that was to sacrifice an animal. Something had to die. Something had to bear the consequences of sin. And that was what we call the atonement sacrifice. It was the only way that God could forgive. Now I will quickly jump to a verse here that I will come back a bit later to. And this is actually what I'm what I'm preaching on, is forgiveness. What does it mean to forgive? What does it mean to God to forgive? And it's so beautifully explained in Psalms 23 verse 1. I'll show it to you now. Hero, just go stay with that picture, please. Just go back to that picture. One more. It says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered. And that's such a beautiful picture of what forgiveness is all about. Is where God basically takes something to cover the sin that we've committed. And the consequences of which is death. So something has to die for that sin. And the Israelites of old basically had to take a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, to the priest, which they then said, this is my sacrifice. This is the thing that has to die in my place. And God then covers that sin. To say, I know what you've did, but the price has been paid. It's now covered. I will not hold this sin against you anymore. It's been paid in full. And this is where the amazing, amazing part of God's word comes in the New Testament. Where we, under the new dispensation of the law, which Jesus came and took that price on himself. But the amazing part was that he was fully God in John 1. And it was the Word made flesh. And he became the perfect lamb sacrificed for our sins. Just go to the next slide. You know. And Jesus became the path to righteousness. The path that we have to follow. The gate through which we have to enter in to have relationship with the Father and be set free from sin. And this was such an amazing word for me that I could just stand in awe again of this God that loves us so much, that will give us this, this new law of his love, to show his love for us. This is what you need to understand. This is where I want you to be. This is how you can get to that place. There are no more blood sacrifices because he has already paid the ultimate price. And we can receive that life, that blessing, simply by faith and confessing his name. And that's where we stand today, that we are able to receive that. But this then goes on. And this is basically the part of my sermon where I want to continue, because we are in a constant struggle over this line. Our lives, we're falling from that place and needing to get to this place as well. This is where we want to be. This is where we want to live. Receiving the blessings of the Father. Being in such a place that we are in his will every time, all the time. And experiencing that love. And it's difficult. Life is not easy. I know this Scott Peck wrote a book. He's a psychiatrist. And in the beginning of this book, he basically said that life is difficult, and the sooner you accept this fact, the easier life will get. Now, that resounded so much with me from my life, my perspective, because even as a Christian, life is not easy. Life as a Christian can sometimes be very difficult. So if you just hold on to the goodness and the blessing and the life that God will bring, as long as it's pleasing to you, you will keep that commandments, you will stay in this life, you will keep the faith. But what happens as soon as that goodness starts moving away in terms of our own thinking that maybe, okay, I must be rich. God must bless me abundantly. He must give me this. He must do this for me. It is our perception, our selfish perception of failing to understand who God is. Understanding that we have to respect God. Even if life is tough as a Christian, there's a place that God has to say, but do you still believe in me, even if I take away all of your earthly possessions, all of your family? And there's so many people that God tested just to show this concept to us, that He is God, He is above our understanding. We cannot start to comprehend what He is, what He must do. It is something far above us, and it's something that you can see in Job, the whole of Job, where Job is basically stripped of everything that he has, except his wife. And God just said, but do you still love me? Do you still choose to follow me, even though I take away everything that you hold dear in your heart? Just to make sure that you love me with a love that convinces me, not the world, but God. And that is something that, yeah, I hope we don't have to go through, because that is the ultimate test that God will have to allow us to suffer to make us whole, to make us understand Him and His love for us. And it's this part that we have to understand as well, that once we've committed sin, there's a process of cleansing, consequences of what we've done in the past. And that again starts with the choice. I believe in God. I believe He's the righteous judge, and He has to judge me. But God, I'm sorry. I apologize. I repent. And that's where repentance comes in. From sin, you have to repent to be able to receive forgiveness. And the word is very powerful in this, that whenever God forgives, He forgives. Whenever we ask for repentance, it is given. Not measured, not say, okay, what have you done? Okay, let me think about that for a year before I make that decision. It is available immediately. And so many times we make the mistake of not forgiving ourselves. And we still keep carrying the burden of our sin, our past lives with us. And we end up burdening ourselves with so much guilt, which God has already removed and said, but it's been paid. Why do you still carry that cross? And we as humans have to so many times have a misconcept of what God is all about, His forgiveness all about. And that is where we are challenged with this concept of forgiveness. Because it's so foreign to us. It's so difficult to understand and comprehend. And more importantly, to implement. To forgive people that has hurt us. Maybe misguided. Maybe on purpose. So many things, so many lives that are broken because of sins committed against people. The atrocities that you see in this world today is horrendous. And you can't look at it and think, but Lord, they deserve not to be forgiven. If you take yourself and put yourself in the shoes of people in Egypt, the Christians that are being that have been captured. I'm not even sure if they have been killed yet. And God demands us to forgive simply because He has forgiven us first. And it's a two-way street. Once you close the door of forgiveness in your heart, you basically block out that center part. Because once you've closed that door for forgiveness in your own heart, you close the door for forgiveness from God to you as well. And that is such a powerful example that Jesus gave us, because He was forgiveness made flesh, that we are able to receive it. And we can see this in Colossians 3 verse 13. Bearing one another and forgiving yourselves, if anyone should have a complaint against any, just as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And Jesus did this over and over and over again. So many times. Simply because He was full of God's Word. He was God's Word. And He understood this concept so clearly, so profoundly, that He was able to give grace and forgive that surpassed anything that we can understand or make known. And that's what which is such a beautiful picture of who Jesus was and what He stood for. And the example that He gave us every day. And that's a cornerstone of our faith. If we cannot do it, we cannot receive it. And it's so, so important that we purpose this in our hearts. We have to keep reminding ourselves that if we get hurt, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much the pain, that's that door. We need to open it. Say, God, I forgive because You forgave me first. I can give this forgiveness because I've received it. And it's every day for whatever reason. Many times in my heart, there's just something that creeps in and you realize, oh, Lord, unforgiveness. I did not forgive that person for what he did to me then. And it hurt me tremendously. And I closed that door without realizing it. I just said, no, this hurt me too much. And then I closed that door. And the problem with it is that door you close life for yourself, because then you get stuck. At some point, you will commit sin. You will move back to the top part, where the curse is, where you will feel that there is no blessing from God. And that door is shut and will remain shut until you that have the key to forgive say, okay, I forgive. And the door opens. And the blessing returns. Simply because that's God's law. This is what the Word is all about. And we cannot remove ourselves from that. And the only way to do that is to say that, God, I can't handle this. I can't accept this. Or I can't accept Your Word. I can't accept You. And then we're back to gravity again. Where is gravity? Where do you stand with relationship to gravity? Let's just read from Luke 17, from verse 1 to 4. And he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, and if he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repeats, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times and say, I repent, you must forgive. Now, repentance is not always necessary for us to be able to forgive. I will say that again. Repentance is not always necessary for us to forgive. But again, in context, if somebody sins against us, hurts us, and sinned against God in the process, they do not have to ask for repentance for us to forgive them. We must give it immediately. Otherwise, we lock that door. But if we sin, repentance is necessary to be able to move through the door. Because we have moved from the bottom part to the top part. And we have to get back to the blessing, get back to the life. And that's where the difficult part in comes so many times for us, that we have, we make the choice of not forgiving, not moving on. And this is where it's so important for us just to realize that God gave us the example. And that we are able to move from this point of life to say, but yes, it hurt. But the only way to heal this hurt, to get healing, is to go through the door. To receive the blessing, to receive the life that God has called us. To walk on that path of righteousness. And you cannot do it from the top part of sin. You have to go through the gate. And our healing starts with forgiveness. You cannot start on that path of healing unless you're forgiven. Simply because we were forgiven. We've received healing in so many ways once we accept Christ into our lives for the first time or the second time or how many times. It's just that newness, that fresh breath of air that we receive when God just speaks that life and says, I forgive you. I've covered that sin. It is not reminding me of who you are anymore. It was so powerful. While we were worshiping that song, Beautiful, I just got this picture in my mind that we are seeing God, you're beautiful, but we're both broken vessels. We are broken human beings that is singing to God with a warped concept of who he is, trying to think who he is. And then God just gave me this word and said, you're beautiful. You are beautiful because I made you. And it wasn't just for me, it was for each and every one of you. That God just speaks that word and says, you're beautiful. I can't say it in Afrikaans because it's just the inkuye is mooi. It doesn't have the same power for me as saying it in English. Because there's something profound in that word that just speaks so much more of depth of what the word means if God is saying it to us. He doesn't look at our sins. Yes, there are sins in our lives, but he does not see that. It's like the father running to the prodigal son, returning to his house. He does not look at how filthy he is from feeding pigs, walking the road full of dust. And it's such a beautiful part. You can read it again if you want. But it's just that picture of who God sees us to be. His children. He loves us. And we are beautiful to him. And there's nothing that we can do that can remove that beauty for him. We can separate ourselves from him, and there's a consequence to that because of the sin and the disobedience. But once we start moving back, we just realize that we've made the mistake of moving away from God that loves us, that says we're beautiful, and he could just not say it to us because we weren't there for him to say it to us. We weren't in the place of receiving that word, receiving that life. Forgiveness is such a powerful tool for healing. There's just this part in Proverbs 8 from verse 32 to 36. Now therefore listen to me, my children. Be blessed, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not refuse it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whomever finds me finds life and shall obtain favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All who hate me love death. Clear picture of that choice that you have there. And then from Psalm 37 from verse 7 to 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evil doers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Wait on the Lord at the doors, at the gates, sitting at the perfect gate of healing, which is such a profound thing. But it's not easy. It's not an easy place to be when we have to forgive someone that has hurt us, or to walk in this forgiveness that God has called us. And sometimes the only way to do it is through Jesus. Say, God, I cannot do this without you. I cannot forgive that person for what they did if you do not walk with me to be able to walk this road of forgiveness. Sometimes it's a road. Sometimes it's not a door. Sometimes it's a path that we have to take and choose daily to do it. Because it's almost like this revolving floors that you get. It's, as you walk, you're basically going nowhere. You see it at the airports, and then you basically run the opposite side. It's meant to go in that direction. Or it's the escalator. You're just going down the escalator that's supposed to be going up. Staying at one place, but choosing every day to do that, committing to it, asking the Lord for help. He will give you that. And it says, we can just read 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who gave to us the ministry of this reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning their transgressions to them, and committing to us the word of this reconciliation. Now then, we serve as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were appealing through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become righteousness of God in him. And it's only through this grace that we are able to stand and sit here today, proclaiming the name of Jesus, having a relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that is just the amazing love that God has for us. And this is where that fear of God falls away. The misconception of who God is. The misconception of fearing God. Yes, in the right context, you have to fear him. But if you're living in the valley, it's such a blessing. It's such an amazing privilege of being in his presence, having a relationship with him, being there in such a way to receive life and life in abundance. And that's a testimony that I shared with you a while back for my son as well, which I don't think I'll share now again. But that's such an amazing part of God's word for us. That he wants us to have a life and a life in abundance. And that is where we want to be, living in this bottom part. And this is something that I'll preach on again next time, where that life has to manifest in fruit. And where that fruit has to bring forth seed. That we can give that fruit to people around us. Why? Because it's lovely. People enjoy fruit. And that seed can be planted so more fruit can be grown. Jesus is a farmer, but he's not into fruit. He's more into sheep. He understands the sheep. So let's just close our eyes and pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your word that is so powerful, Lord, beyond our understanding, Lord. Lord, we just want to speak this truth over our lives, Lord God. We just want to speak your word, Father, into every aspect of our beings, Father, that we can go and test your word on this, Father. For every seed that we sow in faith, Lord God, we will reap the reward, Lord, a hundredfold, Father God. Not maybe in the way that we have conceived in our minds, Lord, in our minds that are so warped by this world, Lord God. But we pray, Father, for that understanding, Lord, for having the fear of the Lord within our hearts, Lord God. We can measure our success, Lord, in terms of your grace, Lord God. In the form of your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for us, Lord. And even if we were the only, if there was only one person, Lord God, that was willing to accept him, Lord, he would have done the same still. But God, I thank you for people that are sitting under the sound of my voice that has accepted you, Lord God, into their hearts, that has proclaimed your name above all else, Lord God, that they are able, Lord, just to hear your word again, Lord. Think about what the promises are, Lord. What is keeping them from that blessing, Lord, that you've called them to be, Lord God, from receiving the blessing that you've had for them in your heart already a long while back, Father. I just pray, Father, you just renew them, Lord God. Give them the strength, Lord, just to look anew at their lives, Lord, and just say, Lord, I want to be there, Lord. I want to receive that blessing, Lord. I want to go through that gate, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, for where that gate has been locked, Lord, because of unforgiveness, Lord, that they hold that key that's called unforgiveness, Lord God. That they would use that key to its fullness and say, I forgive. And open that door in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Even though it might be difficult for some, Lord God. For some, it might be something they are reminded of, even as they sit here now, Lord God, of something they have to let go of. Something they have to forgive somebody for, Lord God. Just as we are praying now, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just convict them, Lord, and show them the picture in their minds, Lord, exactly what you have on their heart, your heart for them. If there is someone that they must forgive, Lord, we just confess, Lord, the name of Jesus in our lives, Lord God. That it's by your blood, Lord, your perfect blood that was spilled on the cross for us, Lord, that washes us clean as whiter than snow, Father. And we could just thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice, Father. We can just thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have, Lord, to glorify your name for that grace, Lord. And we simply receive it, Lord, by faith, Lord. By confessing with our mouths, Lord, that we love you, that you are our Lord and Savior, and there's no other way that we can receive this gift, Lord. There's no other way by which what we can do, nothing else that is able to give us this amazing gift, Father. And we just confess, Lord, of our own failings, Lord God, of our own unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord God, of not understanding, Lord, this concept. We ask that you would move us, Lord God, that you would move us to your word, Lord, that your word will become alive to us again, Father. Will just give us that opportunity, Lord, to spend time with you in relationship, Father, which is all that you want, Lord. You want to spend time with us, have a relationship with us, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, Lord, of stepping into your throne room, Lord God. To see you remove your crown and saying, come here, my son. Come here, my daughter. I want to spend time with you. And we just thank you, Lord, for a king, Father, that would just lay down his throne and embrace his children, Father, coming in from playing outside in the world. You would welcome us with open arms every time. That your love is so great, Father, that our sin cannot separate you, Father. Separate us from you. You're always there. You will always remind us of that love that you have for us. And we could just thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, guys. I don't know if there's something on your heart that God maybe showed you while during the sermon. If there's something I can pray for you with you. Doesn't even have to be part of the sermon. I will pray with you anytime. So I hope you have a very blessed week. May it be full of blessings, full with life, and life in abundance. And God will use you in a special way to remind you of his love for you. Amen. There might be some coffee or some cool drinks at the back. So don't run away. With few enough, we can spend a quality time together. We won't get lost in the crowd. So, and Auntie Doris wants to share something as well.
Morning, church. I've been touched with anointed man of God, what he's been preaching now here. You know what? What he's been saying, disobedient, case, sin, dead. I have a brother of mine, you know, he was repent 2010. And then I see these 2 years, is little bit backslide. And I was speaking with him all that time. I say, my brother, this is not good. This is what you backslide to God. It's really not good. You know what? This is very dangerous because God is a really, really a father of us, what we must fear. We must fear God all the time. And now, this Monday, what we finish now. And then I just pray. You know what? Holy Spirit convinced me if it's something around to my people, what I'm praying for them, or it's something to my family. I was praying, I was worship, I was dancing, I was worship, I was lifting up my hand, I was worship. And then later on, I just said, let me phone at my family. And my youngest sister said to me, "Woo, your brother was very sick today. He couldn't walk. And then my brother, what is coming after my youngest sister? This one is before the youngest brother of mine. My brother, what is coming after my youngest sister, he take him to the hospital. And I really kneeled down. That time, I never get a shock because I know the Holy Spirit was already convinced me. I kneeled down and said to Lord, thank you, Lord, for your miracles, for your wonders, because you know what? Always the children of God, you show them, you convince them. And then I really want anointed man of God, he must pray together with me. God can open, because you know what? That disobedient. You know what? This segment is really so powerful for me. What I was going through my brother, and then is what he's preaching now. Disobedient. He bring the curse over my brother. He bring the sin. He bring the death over my brother, because disobedient to God is a curse, is a sin. That means, that's why devil was attacking him so strong. Even me, I was having a flu. But I was telling the devil, this body is the temple of the Lord. You are not allowed to destroy me. I was having a flu, but this flu was attacked. I was attacked. I just feel this flu. This is not a flu, it's attack. But because why? I'm always on the feet of the Lord. And God will show you everything. And I said, devil, no weapons can form against me. No weapons can prosper. When my sister's telling me about that, my brother, and I say, I worship God, what has been convinced me. And I kneel down and I pray. I say, Lord, convince my brother what you want him to do. Convince him what I've been telling to him all the time to go back. Is what I want to the man of God. You know what? When you are in God, it's true, it's not easy. Devil, he tempt you. Because he was always praying for me, for my son. You know what? Happening on December, my son, he come to the family and he cry. And I say to my son, since when you are going to be, you want to be like that? Another feet is outside, another feet is inside. When my son, he cry to the family and say, I make a decision, a final decision now. I'm coming fully to God. And now devil, he attacked me this side about my brother. My brother was so anointed. But I was telling him, you are a liar. My God, what I'm saving, He's a great God. I'm going to stand with two legs. He's him. What he was always praying for me, for my son. He's him. And now my son, he make a decision. And I was always phoning and ask my sister, how is my son? They say, my sister, he's still full. He's still going forward. And now devil, he come this side, he attack me with my brother. But he lies. He lies me. I'm a woman of God. I'm a strong woman. I'm not fearing for him. Only what I'm fearing God. I fear God. I fear God. I don't want to make a mistake. I fear God. I always kneel down and say, Lord, if I sin before you, forgive me. Forgive me. Even now when my brother, I heard my brother was sick, when I was worshiping, praying, so I was praying, and I say, Lord, if I do something wrong, forgive me. Just want we must pray for him, and God can open the eyes of my brother as now. And yesterday I was speaking even to him. And I say, my brother, you are anointed man of God. God is going to heal you. But God is going to tell you what he needs to you. What he needed to you, because you were going on the wrong way. That's why devil, he attack you. That's why devil, stand up. Arise. Arise and walk. And know God is in control. And go and do the work of God, what he needs you to do it. I really been blessed with this preaching. I know he's anointed. He's always preaching on me, on top of me all the time. When his cement is opening, his cement is top of me. And another thing is, this week, another woman was so painful about his relationship. He was so painful about his He comes to me. He say, Mama Dora, I am so tired. I'm just coming now to the lawyer to come and divorce. I say, my daughter, my sister, you are not a child of God. He says, yes, I am. I say, no. No, 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 no. God, he says, he hates divorce. He hates divorce. How many times, Mama Dora, is crying? How many times I must forgive? I say, 7 miles. 7 miles you must forgive. My sister, take it out, that grievousness. Take it out, that anger. That anger is not from God. It's from devil. Have a peace and love. Let me tell you, if you start having a peace in that house of yours and love and treat your husband as a love and with peace, you're going to see. I say, I will give you 2 days. You do that and you come back to me. Friday, he come back to me. He say, Mama Dora, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I say, yes, my sister. Don't go out on the commandment of God. You are going out now. And devil, now he try to attack you. Whatever you are going through, stand firm. Stand firm. When you were making a covenant there, you were saying, I am going to hold it, whatever. God never say your marriage will be so soft, will be what? You were saying, whatever has been happening, I will hold him. Hold, 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 hold. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want
you. Okay, guys. Blessed week. Speak to you just now. Amen.